About this time another company of Spanish soldiers came, and old Mishongnovi was still inhabited at that time, for all the people had not yet moved up on top. They stopped on the other side of Mishongnovi and asked the chief if he would make an agreement to let them in. He refused them 4 times. Then the captain of the Spanish soldiers said he had to destroy their village. Of course the people were very much afraid then, for they had seen what had happened at Chung Povi and how the Spanish had killed the leaders of the trouble over there. Chung Povi was then partly in ruins, for the people were carrying away the beams to build their new homes on top, but somehow the Spanish didn't make an attack that time but went away again. After they had gone away, the Mishongnovi people wanted to stop up their spring called Yoni Aba, Antelope Chipmunk, which was a good spring at that time. They closed it up and had a payo making ceremony. After they made their prayer offerings, every man spun some cotton, and when this was done they selected 4 different kinds of payos and then wrapped cotton yarn over them. It made a round roll, about 10 inches long and about 8 inches in diameter. With this they blocked up the water hole. Then in front of it they put a plaque and sealed it up around the edges with sweet cornmeal mush. They did this so that if the Spanish ever came back they would find no water there. This spring was to be opened up when the good white man or his brother came back, but today nobody knows just where the spring really is. When they had done this they started to move up on top of the mesa, but before they had all moved, the Spanish came back again. Finding no water where they had camped before, they went right into the village and destroyed it. No one was killed and the few people who were left escaped and moved up to the mesa top. There, the Spanish tried to get to the new village on top, but there was no trail and the people had piled up stones which they rolled down on the Spanish so that they were unable to climb up. Shipalovi was pretty well established at this time, but was under a sub-chief of Shungpovi, as Mishongnovi was too. 46. After all these happenings the chiefs of the 3 villages held a council and made an agreement that there should be a limited place where the next white man should stop. This place is where the Sunlight Mission now stands. It was put up to the Mishongnovi chief that it was to be his duty to look out for that. There was also another limited line between Shipalovi and Mishongnovi. If any attack should come from the outside on Mishongnovi, whoever wished to save his own life could go over to the Shipalovi side, where they were not supposed to be touched. Shipalovi was the place of safety and was not supposed to have any blood stain. No one there could fight and no one was supposed to fight them. For a long time these 2 villages were under Shungpovi, but finally it was too much for them to handle, on account of the great number of ceremonies they were supposed to have. Finally, Mishongnovi was given its freedom. Shipalovi today is not altogether under Shungpovi, but the people still go to Shungpovi for their initiation ceremonies, Weavachim. Crane Clan. 47. The return of Bahana, the white man. All this time the Hopi seemed to know that the real Bahana was coming, but they were warned to be careful and patient, for fear it might not be the true Bahana who would come after the Spaniard or Castilian. So if he ever did come, they must be sure to ask him about his books, which they thought would contain his secrets, and it was said that the Book of Truth would not be on top, but at the very bottom, after all the other books. If he asked the Hopi for the privilege of teaching them his language and taught them how to write, they must be sure to ask that they would like to be taught in the Book of Truth, because if he was a true Bahana he would quickly consent to teach them of this book. For their belief is, that if he is not the one they are looking for he will refuse to teach them his religion. Now if they learned his religion they would compare it with their religion and ceremonies, and if these were alike they would know that the Bahana had been with them in the beginning. Most everybody was anxious to see the Bahana come, for they were so afraid that he might not come during their lifetime and they would not be able to enjoy all the benefits that he was to bring back with him, for the Bahana was supposed to bring great knowledge with him. These people were telling their children that the Bahana was wise and with his inventions had reached the rising sun and was coming back to them again, for they had seen the big eastern star and that was a sign and they were waiting for him. Every grandfather and grandmother was telling their children that they were growing so old that they would not see the Bahana. They would tell their grandchildren to go out in the mornings before sunrise with sacred cornmeal to ask the sun to hurry the Bahana along so that he would come soon. Well, I guess many years had passed, probably a century. You know, some were rather superstitious and they would say that when the Bahana came he would know who was practicing witchcraft and that he would know them by sight. They said that he was to come and make peace and do away with all evil so that there would be no more trouble. And so, for this reason, the people who had so much trouble were the most anxious to see him come. Well, finally they heard that the Bahana was at Tshotso, Navajo for Fort Defiance, which means range of sharp pointed rocks. He was calling for the Hopi chiefs to come to that place to meet him. Now at that time all the tribes were on hostile terms with one another and it was dangerous. 48. The Hopi wanted to go and see what this Bahana looked like. The chiefs from all the villages went there and they told him if he was the true Bahana they would shake hands and lay down their weapons, for they had a theory that when the Bahana came there would be peace forever. Well, at this place they were given cloth of different kinds, flour and sugar and a few tools like axes and knives. That was the first time that they had ever tasted sugar. When they brought these things back home this caused much excitement in all the towns. Of course, they would have to go back and take more men with them but they were always afraid of attacks from the Navajos and the Paiutes. So the Hopis, knowing that the white man was at Fort Defiance and that he had promised to let his soldiers protect the friendly people, knew also that if they were attacked by the Navajos and fighting with them, the soldiers would come. So every time the Navajos made an attack the Hopis would have to fight and if they made a retreat they would follow them up. The Hopis got so that they were good fighters themselves. The Navajos were not much of fighters, for they made up war parties and went places looking for trouble. Well, when they were doing this they thought it was great fun. The Hopi said that if they sighted some Hogans they would hide out in the daytime and move up at night. These Hopis would have signals like the call of an owl. There are two different kinds of owls, hoot owl and small owl, that makes a whistling noise, or a crow. During the night they would circle around the Hogans and would signal back and forth imitating the owls or crows to see if the Navajos were all awake. They would surround the place and wait until sunrise before making an attack. Some old men who used to tell about this said it was great fun and like chasing cottontails on a rocky hill. They, Navajos, would be so scared they couldn't run. And all they had to do was to hit them on the head with a club. These old men said that when they had grown old, they knew what a great wrong they had done. The tobacco, cloud, or water, badger, rabbit and coyote clans. 49. How the Hopi marked the boundary line between their country and that of the Navajo. Now with all this fighting and the Navajo coming in around them, the Hopi were always thinking of their boundary lines and of how they should be marked in some way. But how? What sort of a mark could they put that would be respected by other peoples? It must be something that both the Hopis and the Navajos would remember. So just at this time there were two men at Walpi who were rivals over a woman named Wiupowiudi. Now both these men were looking for a chance to show this woman how brave and strong they were. Finally they thought of this boundary line and the theory of their people that it should be marked in such a way that everyone would always remember. So these two men thought that this was a chance for them to prove themselves and to really do something for their people at the same time. They thought they would plan a fight with the Navajos as near the boundary line as they could get. And there they would sacrifice themselves and leave their skulls to mark the line. In this way they thought that they would prove that they were brave and good fighters and they would really be doing something for their people, and so it was agreed upon. Then Masail, feathers crossed, said they would go to Fort Defiance. So they both made an agreement that they would go early in the fall. Taupu, Rabbit Skin Blanket, thought they were going alone, but later he found out that there was going to be a party going over. He thought they were sacrificing too many lives, but, of course, he had made the promise to this other man so that he could not tell on him or give him away at that time.